program link ready for download. Transference beginning. Download complete.
Today, Breakfast Club doesn't offer those deleted scenes, but it has several different scenes that have been inserted in there to sort of tweak back the cussing and also, I think, some of the marijuana use. Caddyshack had some bonus scenes that you couldn't see anywhere else in its television version. Same thing for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So, I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me.
I can remember, dude, the startling consequence of having touched you. The tall fan swinging its humming head, ruffling magazines on your shelf, twisting thin scarf on doorknob, then briefly the chill of sweat on the back of my legs. And I can only assume the same to your unmanageable hip. That curve that could not contain me. Back again, and constant, hour and hour. I was supposed to be asleep.
Pictures, this is your world. Ashton. I never imagined it could be so beautiful.
How'd you do it?
I was hoping you'd know. Last thing I remember, I was dumping Ferguson in the trunk.
Jacked in.
Huh? Who's Jack? Hey, what'd you do to the world?
Turned it off.
Well, put it back!
Years ago, we had the church. That was only a way of saying we had each other.
But now, I don't know, it's a funny thing. I put hate in your heart.
The Knights of Columbus were real headbreakers, true guineas. They took over their piece of the city. 20 years after an Irishman couldn't get a fucking job, we had the presidency. May rest in peace. That's what the niggas don't realize. If I got one thing against the black chappies, it's this. No one gives it to you. You have to take it.
Exhausted. I had been told this before. So exhausted, I would sleep. But the air, its own, a tempo. Uncountable, but mounting considerable memory. The same glossy cover lifts and falls.
Now, let me tell you what's going on from another point of view. Let's leave Heisenberg out for a little moment. Remember our fellow Schrödinger, who says everything's wavy, and his equation predicts everything's wavy. And in fact, it even predicts what would happen to electrons moving along in wires, like when they make electricity. And what he predicted was the following rather strange story. The electron wave, which may start out as very concisely pointed at one particular place, as that little wave moves, you can imagine it moving as if it were a pulse on a jump rope. You've seen kids play jump rope. And you know that if you grab a jump rope and you give it a quick wiggle, you see a pulse travel down the jump rope from where you moved it up and down, down the line to the other person at the other end. That's called a pulse, right? So you can imagine that from the point of view of Schrödinger's wave, that the electron would move something like that pulse on the rope. Don't ask what the wave is waving in, because we don't know that yet. But just imagine that it's moving like that. Okay.
Well, I saw a woman from Planned Parenthood on television this morning. A lesbian, naturally, defending gay marriage. I almost ripped the cable out of the wall.
The same silk through which dawn that is not dawn, but the real morning reflected from beyond horizon's curve, showing how thin it really is. Fabric inconsequential to wind or light, tangling against the sky.
If it's for some reason important that he discovered that the Earth is round, you've got to play a game with him. You've got to play a trick on him. You tell him, great, the Earth is flat. Let's go and look over the edge. Wouldn't that be fun? Of course, if we're going to look over the edge of the Earth, we must be very, very careful that we don't go round in circles, or we'll never get to the edge. So we've got to go along consistently, along a certain line of latitude westwards.
Why aren't there perfumes then made out of these odors if they're so attractive? You know,
well,
they rouse such, you know, members of the opposite sex. Maybe you don't want that to happen if you had those odors, I guess, you know, smelling like pizza or a donut or something.
Well, you know, it's sort of interesting, and you see more perfumes coming out now with a lot of food bases in them,
uh-huh.
So that might be part of it. But part of wearing perfumes is not necessarily to induce sexual arousal, mm-hmm. But to enhance social communication.
Chess.
Initially, everybody thought it's an easy problem. Computer is so much faster than a human being, right? It should be a piece of cake for the computer. Oh, it was much harder than that.
What the real live chess player does is take in the whole position in one conscious awareness. Really good chess players have an enormous capacity to remember entire positions on the board and to see possibilities. The machine doesn't do that.
Computers play basically by calculation. They just say, okay, if it's my move, what are my possible moves? If I go there, then you can go there, and then I go there. And it just continues on in a string like that. And every position along the way gets evaluated.
But the difficulty with chess is that the numbers become astronomical very fast. If you just multiply, I have 8 moves, you have 8 counter moves. I have 8 counter moves to each one of your 8 counter moves, and you have 8 counter moves to each one of my 8 counter moves. The numbers are as big as the universe.
As men know it in their time, through which that sense of wonder will come, so that the whole of the world, every object in it, and of the society, becomes, as it were, a holy picture through which the revelation of wonder shines. And that was the function of the old arts, to let the sense of wonder be seen through things.
I have made love speak through me, if not to you, then to what I would have it be. Let how we said this be secret.
Pulse lightly, you see light. Well, yeah. There's no light there. We're
right.
Perceiving the pressure as light. With the same things happening in your nose, you're perceiving the pressure as smell.
In fact, that number, the number of atoms in the universe, is a trivially tiny number compared to the number of games you can play up to move 40.
So the problem with chess has always been, how the hell do you solve the exponential problem? How do you solve the problem of the sheer size of the numbers involved?
Gotta pay a visit to the Montville Building Department.
To what end?
I've been promising Carmine I'd been on this inspector. Completely went out of my head. Guy's name is Ron Sankowski.
Janice Sack's brother, Anthony.
Ah, the Lord of the Lenses.
Actually, we just started carrying these. The newest cross pen.
A rollerball.
You want a classic fountain?
Nah, we'll see. So how's your brother-in-law?
John's fucking made of steel. I was told your ears only.
Well, that's why he didn't get a pen.
No.
He's fucking with you, Anthony.
Johnny's a silent partner in this heavy equipment leasing thing in New Orleans.
Good. FEMA's down there handing out Kruger Ranch and buckets.
He said post-Katrina you had some knowledge of business in the area.
Well, let me say this. Dick Cheney for president of the fucking universe.
On account of John's liquidity problems, the asset freeze, he'd love you to contact these brothers, the owners, and turn it into cash.
Me?
Says Phil Leotardo shouldn't be involved. Just know John's asking as a friend. And obviously there's a finder's fee.
As a person, and the more of them you tell, the more you beggar yourself. But I will distinguish between lying and invention, and especially self-invention. Children need to try on different selves. They don't know who they are. They try different things. You'll see the way kids change their hair constantly, you know, their hairdos, and experiment with their clothes and all that. It's really all sort of fumbling around trying to figure out who they are. And so there's a period when you're young when I think especially parents have to be very careful not to apply standards about lying to what is naturally occurring in the child's life in terms of just figuring out who they are and trying on different selves.
And the next morning, I would not leave either, but wait as inevitably as I had the night before, with no patience, believe this, and no regret.
And then we're going to come to the edge of the earth, just so long as we're consistent. In other words, in order to convince a flat earthist that the world is round, you've got to make him act consistently on his own proposition.
That involves acts of self-invention, and I think that you know that we have to be very tolerant about that.
Even when you're trying very hard to tell the truth, there are so many different versions of the truth. Did you run into that when writing this memoir? I think you gave the manuscript to your mother and to your brother and to others to read before it was published.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wanted to be sure that when it came out, they wouldn't say, oh, no, this is, not to others, but to me, you've got it all wrong. And I was very gratified that they were very impressed by the accuracy of the record and that it really squared with their own recollections. My mother had some questions about chronology. She has a wonderful kind of memory, and she says here and there I got things switched around and whatnot, but nothing serious at all. And basically I let those things stand because that's the way I remembered them, and that's the story I'm telling is what my memory tells me. You can follow someone around with a camera and a notebook and a tape recorder, and you'll get a lot of facts, but you won't get the truth.
develop a photograph.
Oh, right. It really comes to the same thing. However, again, I just asked the question. If you take a picture and you never develop it, does that picture exist?
For me, no.
For me, no.
I would have to say that that picture does exist for me. I feel that that if you take a picture, then when the image is on the undeveloped photograph, the picture itself, in imagination, has created the effect of a revelation of truth which can be pondered, and that in itself is the end result of photography, and therefore
that's
the photograph
drivel.
Does exist.
I've never heard such drivel. I mean, the fact is that the only person who can ponder that image is you. Unless there is a photograph, there is no form of communication. You're talking about pondering within your own only too domed forehead.
Never. It was after I had not thought for so long, perhaps those I cannot say. You rolled against me and woke slowly and completely, that I would finally have the answer I had been wondering about. I could never only touch you, or only touch. There would always be us, unavoidable, at the end of each other's fingertips. And so the consequence, full, that I'd always suspected but left room to let go of if it proved empty, was tangled around my feet like a blanket I had sweat under. That had unlocked formidable things, given you bundles of years I cannot describe how elegantly building, destroyed hesitation after hesitation, drained the blood from my regrets, and here I was, me, unchanged, and still left with what I had given you, and still left with who I had been. And could you witness this? Did you? When you searched my face, suddenly fearful that I was not happy.
Queen E2. Queen D8. B4. Queen C7. Rook EC1. C4. Rook A3. Rook EC8. Rook CA1. Queen D8. F4. Knight F6. Moves it off the edge. F takes E5. Attacks Black's knight.
I want you to know you don't gotta stay. If we're not gonna make it, it's gotta be you that gets out. Because I'm not capable. I'm fucking Irish. I'll deal with something being wrong for the rest of my life. Gary, what was all the fuss about?
New Metaphysics. Hanging around the planet. Just another planet hanging around the planet. Untold numbers of variables at this point. God knows what they're saying to each other. Or the itinerant scientist begging for alms, always hanging about. www.newmetaphysics.com. First time put in the three W's, so that the IT man knows not whence you came. NM at newmetaphysics at studio475.com for email. Probably be changing that soon. But I'll find you. Glad you could make it. Unless you've been canceled out by some sort of cogitation oligarchy. A lot of those around here. Last man in the kitchen is spoiling the broth, as it were. Old Uncle Tom Whitey. Tom, whose uncle is even white. And that's the quorum. We're all here.
But I do understand it. Just like it's more easy to us to have the sitcoms and situation comedies on television and not the serious dramas about our lives. But a lot of things can be said through comedy.
Would you please get out of my face, you sorry-looking faggot?
Just a little cross-chatter there. Signal on the comm.
You want to get a cup of coffee?
And other kinds of intercept. A lot of sperm spewed out all over the terrain these days. And lots more coming, my friends. 10,000's a lot of sperm. That's Oriental for infinity, I might add. They didn't need anything bigger than that.
Oh, you call him sorry looking.
Hanging around, still pretending not to get it. Of course, it's all those rings. Multi-pentagon type rings of quasi-semi-impermeable consciousness. I don't have to tell you about how that works.
What do you expect coming in here?
I have to come here.
I know you have to come here, but now that you're here, What do you want?
You want the truth? Valium.
You know, if you lied, you would have an easier time getting what you wanted.
What's that say about what you do for a living?
I just think we should have a few more meetings before we even talk about prescriptions.
Look, I'm having panic attacks, all right? The other night I thought I was having a fucking heart attack. I puked in a trash barrel on the way over here. I haven't slept for fucking weeks.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true, all right? I said something fucking true. I want some fucking pills, and you're gonna what? You're gonna close my file?
I didn't.
Is that what you're gonna do?
I know.
I thought I was supposed to tell the truth here.
You are.
And a guy comes in here against every instinct of privacy, of self-reliance that he has, and what do you do? What do you do, huh? You send him off on the street to score smack? Is that what you do? You're fucking ridiculous.
Can't y'all see that she ain't funny? She's just another poor example of how the system has her destroying our men.
Honey, I am more man than you'll ever be, and more woman than you'll ever get.
Years ago, the proudest boast was Civis Romanus Sum. Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is Ich bin ein Berliner.
Would rather be gone.
When she was a little girl, she was so bow-legged, she could stand up in a barrel full of nails without getting scratched.
All right, pretty little whittle, certainly so. Certainly it is a pleasure to be here in San Francisco. It is always a pleasure to be here, indeed. And more, it is a pleasure to be here with you. And beyond the various pleasures that it is also a joy. A joy to have this opportunity just to be here with you. A joy to have this opportunity to work with you.
Consistently westwards, he comes back to the place where he started. He's been convinced that the Earth is at least cylindrical. And he may believe you. Then take it on faith that if he goes along a line of longitude, the same thing will happen. But you see, what you did was to make him persist in his folly. Now that's the whole method of Zen. To make people become perfect. And so explode the illusion of the separate ego. So what happens? In effect, then, in the discipline of Zen, when you finally convince the master that you are stupid enough to be accepted as a student, because you've persisted and because you've defined yourself as someone having a problem, he has warned you well in advance that he has nothing to teach. But he says, now I will ask you a question. There are many ways of asking this question, but they all boil down to one common
question. Have a seat, please. We're going to administer several easy tests, and there will be no physical discomfort involved. You're conscious of the high factor of addictiveness of Substance D. In many of those taking Substance D, a split between the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere of the brain occurs, which results in a defect within both the percept and cognitive systems, although apparently the cognitive continues to function normally.
Are you getting any cross-chatter? Cross-chatter between hemispheres?
If there's damage to the left hemisphere, where the linguistic skills are normally located, then sometimes the right hemisphere will fill in to the best of its ability. An impairment of set background discrimination can get you into a heap of trouble. Instead of perceiving no forms, you perceive faulty forms.
But this is not a Rorschach test where some abstract block can be interpreted many ways by many subjects. This has one specific object.
Only after the entire set has been run can we make a determination.
Why this is superior to the Rorschach is that it's not interpretive. There are many wrongs, but there is only one right. You either get it or you don't. And if you show a run of not getting it, then we have a fix on a functional impairment, and we dry you out for a while until you test better later on.
Now, what do you see in this drawing among these particular black and white lines?
Physical and spiritual explorations. You have found many a book upon the self-help or in the occult section of so many bookstores. And you have read feverishly and frantically, searching for that clue, and often working, whether you called it that or not, with the shadow. So already a lot of you know, perhaps more than you realize, about what the shadow is. But in our work tonight, to take the shadow and the shadow work to a new dimension, to a new depth, we begin with that foundation of what is the shadow. What do you already know of your shadow? The shadow is made up of all the stuff that you have denied, that you discount, that you defend yourself against, that you distract yourself from, all the stuff that is you, all the parts of you, all the aspects of you, that you pretend don't exist.
After 9 days and nine nights, the woman said to Gilgamesh, "We must bathe you, give you a haircut." They gave him a haircut. They bathed him. They anointed him in fragrant oils. They gave him human food to eat, sweetmeats, grain, breads, fruit, cooked flesh. And when Enkidu attempted to connect with his erstwhile animal friends, he found he could no longer do so. They shunned him because he smelled differently, and he could not keep up with them when they ran.
Discount, that you defend yourself against, that you distract yourself from.
What the hell was that? Jesus fucking Christ!
What the hell in the hootenanny was that?
The return spring on the throttle cable. Look, the gas. There's a cutter broken.
Give her a look.
It's not the spring. It's the linkage from the pedal to the cart. See, it fell apart, so the gas pedal didn't push back out when you took your foot off. But it doesn't explain why.
There's a safety override on the car when linkage parts.
Shouldn't this locking ring hold the cable in place? I mean, how could it just
come off like that?
Let's have a look. Let's probe a little.
All right. This screw has been turned all the way out, the idle screw.
So, when the linkage parted, it went the other way, up instead of down.
Wait, now how could that happen? There is no way that that screw could turn itself all the way out like that accidentally.
No way.
Motherfucker! They did it deliberately!
Now, to loosen the lock ring and nut assembly that holds the accelerator linkage rods together, a special tool would be needed, several in fact. I'm going to estimate it'll take about a half an hour to get this back together. I have the tools, though.
Back at the house.
Correct.
Well, we can always go to a repair center and borrow theirs, or get a tow truck out here. Okay, these are for us, and I'm going to suggest that you take several with the implicit acceptance of the fact that Substance D cannot screw up an accelerator linkage or a carb idle adjustment.
Yeah, dude, don't blame the drugs. Well, so much for our great road trip to San Diego, Bob. I told you we should have gone to San Francisco.
What, like going to San Francisco would not have caused this problem with the engine? I don't know.
Yeah, because when you're going north, it screws this way. And when you're going south, it screws that way.
If we were in Australia.
On spiritual explorations. You have found many a book upon the self-help or in the occult section of so many bookstores.
Empire that literally enslaves people around the world, misuses people, but we're beginning to understand this. And the Latin Americans are at the forefront of this understanding.
Well, we're going to talk to you about Congo, about Lebanon, about the Middle East, about Latin America, much of what you cover in the secret history of the American Empire.
And you have read feverishly and frantically, searching for that clue, and often working, whether you called it that or not, with the shadow. So already a lot of you know, perhaps more than you realize, about what the shadow is. But in our work tonight, to take the shadow and the shadow work to a new dimension, to a new depth, we begin with that foundation of what is the shadow. What do you already know of your shadow? The shadow is made up of all the stuff that you have denied, that you discount, that you defend yourself against, that you distract yourself from, all the stuff that is you, all the parts of you, all the aspects of you that you pretend don't exist, or that if they do exist, they're no big deal. They don't really matter. They don't really have impact. They don't really have dimension, that you shove behind you, all the stuff you learned to defend yourself against and distract yourself from, to resist, to refuse to accept. As a little kid, when you first learned you shouldn't be so selfish, you shouldn't be so greedy, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this other, you shouldn't be so curious, you shouldn't question so much, you shouldn't, you shouldn't, you shouldn't, you shouldn't. And as a good little boy, a good little girl, trying to become idealized, trying to win the favor, to win the... trying to survive. You did as you were told. And you shoved your selfishness and your greed and your self-centeredness behind you, pretending it didn't exist. In what hand? What are you talking about? Oh, this? Well, that's nothing. It doesn't matter, as you discount, as you defend. I am not. Tantrums to pouting. All that stuff, all those aspects of self that got shoved down, that got denied, that got shoved behind you, that you resist admitting now, that you refuse or are so reluctant to accept about you. But not just the dark stuff, not just the ugly stuff, not just the stuff that society says was bad and wrong and sinful and terrible and immoral and all that, but the good stuff. The messages that you got about don't be so questioning, don't be so curious, don't be so inquisitive, don't be so honest, don't be so in touch with your feelings, don't be so creative, don't daydream like that, don't be that inventive, don't ask questions.
It's definitely a mistake for Gary.
Don't do that! What is that? What did I do? Hey!
Where are you? Look at this. You are really a god.
No, Ashton, I'm not really a god. I'm just like you. Just a bunch of electrons.
What are you talking about?
It's all smoke and mirrors. Just like your world, Ashton. We're nothing but a simulation on some computer.
What?
It's like a machine. Like this arcade game over here. You got your players. And you put your nickel in. This one pitches. This one runs around the bases. You got a bat, you got a ball, they play, they score. All following pre-programmed movements generated by electrical energy. Of course, we've improved on this model since then. Now the players can beat the shit out of and try to drown one another, which is always fun.
But the letter, it said...
Everything was vague,
yes.
Right? Yeah, well, the letter was meant for me. Fuller was talking about my world.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that there's a... another world on top of this one?
That's right.
I don't understand.
Fuller found out about it. And they killed him.
Then why didn't they kill you?
Maybe they will. Maybe that's why you're pointing a gun at me right now. I'm sorry, Ashton. We're stuck here. You and me.
The federal prosecutors and myself have been told to clear our calendars for the next 5 months.
So trial is upon us.
And the feds have reached a complete accounting of your worth.
The vintage Wurlitzer? They go through my fucking sock drawer?
They shot a video the day of your arrest. They even tracked down the 180 grand in Boca Raton under your father's name. They estimate your net worth at 5 million.
Well, Ginny lives on scraps.
Between your cash and portfolios with Fidelity and Vanguard, your 401k and severance parachute from S&E Scaffolding, condo in Deal Beach at 450, Maserati, Ginny's Yukon, and the house and its contents valued at $1.2 million.
Is this all part of your plan, Ron? Make me so fucking depressed that I hang myself?
It's my obligation to raise the idea again of cooperating.
Into Ecuador. And the promise to the Ecuadorian people at that time from Texaco and their own politicians and the World Bank was oil is going to pull this country out of poverty. And people believed it. I believed it at the time. The exact opposite has happened. Oil has made the country much more impoverished. While Texaco has made fortunes off this, it's also destroyed vast areas of the Amazon rainforest. So the lawsuit today that's being brought by a New York lawyer and some Ecuadorian lawyers, Steve Donzinger here in New York, is for $6 billion, the largest environmental lawsuit in the history of the world.
Flip, let me explain something to you again, Ron, but differently. Being a rat, where I'm coming from, that's like asking a person where you're coming from to become a fucking Nazi. I don't want to hear that shit again.
Good. Because frankly, I don't represent turncoats.
Because it would kill your practice.
Precious and very valuable pieces of your past.
I put my hand in my pocket. What do I feel? 110 stories of concrete and steel I like to watch. That plane-shaped pole really gets me hot. But the big ball of fire is the money shot I like to watch. I like to watch the plane going in. I like to watch the flame shooting out. People dive into the street while I play with my meat. My steel melted and my tower is coming down. The New York skyline will never be the same, but the guys who flew those planes had fucking amazing aim. I like to watch. I like to watch. There must have been a reason, but I don't understand why they hit the Pentagon instead of Disneyland. I like to watch. I like to watch. I like to watch the plane going in. I like to watch the flame shooting out. It's raining broken glass while I sit on my ass. My steel melted and my tower is coming down.
Become more complicated, the most successful salespeople will be those who are the most capable of building and maintaining long-term, high-quality relations.
Of watching planes explode until they showed it in reverse, and I had to shoot my load. I like to watch. I like to watch.
These managers are good at selecting.
Now my hands all sticky, and I cannot find a rag. I guess I'll have to use the American flag. I like to watch. I like to watch.
The very best parents are those who are most capable of expressing themselves clearly. Listening
I like to watch.
Practicing
the flame shooting out.
Consideration and courtesy.
People dive into the street while I play with my meat. My steel melted and my tower is coming down.
There's no part of life where other people are involved. Becoming a better communicator will help you to be a more successful and effective person. One thing up, good communicators are made, not born. Communication skills are like almost any other skills. Everyone has to be a certain degree, and therefore develop them as extensively as they want. It's merely a matter of desire, application, and persistence. And the more effective you become as a communicator, the happier you will be in every part of your life. There are three basic parts of any conversation between two or more people. The ancient Greeks called these ethos, pathos, and logos. The ethos, or ethics, referred to the character of the individual in the conversation or interaction with others. As Emerson wrote, "What you are shouts at me so loudly, I can't hear a word you say."
To the extent that the past still has influence, to the extent that even for some of you the past seems still to have control, those previous waves can be tremendously disruptive to your present reality. Certainly so. Those previous waves have twisted and distorted the very foundation of your being, and therefore continue to twist and to distort the very function, the very structure of your present, and potentially the very scaffold of your future. But indeed, a dulce and with its deadening pain, is not something that happened to you. It is not something that disrupted or damaged, something that twisted or distorted. It is something that is twisting, is distorting, is disrupting and currently doing damage. It is a shame that did not happen in the past, but in fact is happening right now in your very present and is severely threatening your very future. With the previous waves of shame, you can assess when it happened and what damage it did. With the current wave, with adult shame, with its deadening pain, you can only anticipate, you can only imagine when it is going to strike fully and completely, and you can only imagine, you can only anticipate the kind of damage that it is going to do. As difficult as it has been to work with those previous waves or to work with them currently, you are working with them in retrospect. You are working with them after the fact. You see, you're no longer an infant. You're no longer a child. You're no longer an adolescent. But in fact, you are a grown-up. You are a grown-up who is working with an infant, working with a child, working with an adolescent. And you have the leverage. You have the leverage that a grown-uphood, you have the leverage that retrospect gives you. But with adult shame, with this current wave of shame, this deadening pain of this adult shame, you don't have the leverage of retrospect. You don't have the leverage of being beyond it, outside of it. You see, with the previous waves, you are, in a sense, outside the set. And as you understand and know from set theory, that you can thoroughly understand a set and understand and work with it once you're outside of it. But with adult shame, you're in the midst of the set. Oh, yes, we suppose you could wait until after you die. We suppose you could wait till then, and after you've left this lifetime, then you would be sufficiently outside the set of adult shame and could look back in retrospect and have the full advantage. But then it's a little too late, isn't it? You see, then you can come back in another lifetime, we would suppose, and deal with it at that point. But that's not what you're after. That's not what you're looking for. That solution is perhaps an easy one, but not an adequate one. You are in the midst of the set. You are in the midst of the very shame itself, and therefore it is more complicated. It is more intricate and indeed more necessary to deal with. But it doesn't have to be more difficult. It doesn't have to be more difficult.
Can I ask you something? Is it worth it? Being an agent, what it costs. Do you think it's worth it?
I like the boy, the fellow, the lady from Galway. You know, she told you. Is it true that an Irish woman always answers the question? She says, "Who told you that?" But we're celebrating the feast of the saint here, Mr. President, and you are really gracious to call. I think it's just marvelous. You know, you're doing a great job. Don't just pay no attention to the critics. Half the country doesn't pay attention to them. You know, those talking heads and everything on television. They tell you, "Well, this is what you just heard." They really give me a pain in the ear. And furthermore, Mr. President, they've never been with me. They've endorsed... The last time, the Globe, the Herald, channels 4, 5, and 7 endorsed my opponent. I mean, if I weren't arrogant, I'd have thought something was wrong. I'm going to let Big Red in on the act here. Just for a moment. That's enough.
Let him do it. I mean, he's the only governor you have.
Mr. President, I'm in the big time now, the big leagues. Last night at the gridiron was just a puddle jumper. I'm in the show now.
I mean, God, I believe it. This is a lot rougher than we went through last night.
I've got just one suggestion, Mr. President. If you make provisions for an adequate entertainment allowance for the ambassador to the Vatican next time around in the presidential, we can guarantee you a unanimous vote out of this hall. Of course, last time, everybody except me and Bulger probably voted for you anyway.
Did you?
Oh, he knew he didn't want to give me the phone.
Hey, well, have you told him that it only took you a couple of hours to get back from Washington and it takes Flynn a whole week?
Okay, if he doesn't make another drop, what do we have?
We've got the Palm Pilot. Still gives us conspiracy to commit espionage.
Until he walks into a court with a lawyer who says everything on the Palm Pilot was just notes for a spy novel he was planning to write.
I
couldn't take a tape recorder into the prison. It was all, you know, pen and paper.
Where's the prison located?
The prison is in the Catskills. It's in a place called Woodburn. Oddly, it's not a maximum security prison, but it's where they could build the most secure confinement area just for Willie.
What has he done that requires this maximum security cell, this cage that he's in?
While he's been in prison, it wasn't just what he did on the outside, it's what he's done in prison. Every opportunity he got, he was waging what he called a war on his guards. It was a war with the system. He thought that the criminal justice system was like a surrogate mother because he's been locked up since he was 9 years old, either in a juvenile reformatory or an adult prison. And so he sees all the guards as his enemy, and he wants to prove that he's the toughest, meanest guy there ever was. So when he had an opportunity, he would throw hot coffee on a guard, or he would throw feces on them, or if a nurse was giving him his medication, sometimes he would bite the nurse's finger. As I say, one time he actually pulled out a shank and stabbed a guard.
How did he get a shank in jail?
That's a good question. What he actually did was he removed a small rod from underneath the typewriter that they gave him to type up one of his legal cases on, and he ground down the point of the rod from under the typewriter, and it was like a very large ice pick, which he somehow managed to in the bottom of his foot, and taken from his cell. It wasn't the same cell that I saw him in, but a different cell at that time, to the visitor's room. And he was supposedly frisked, but the guards didn't frisk the bottom of his foot. They took off his shoes and looked in his shoes. They forgot to pad the bottom of his feet.
If I ever catch you in my office again, you're going to be pissing purple for a week.
Still new metaphysics. Can't shake it. It's almost like a part of a part of me. And not necessarily the part that wants to get rid of part of me. Although that's not an absolute. So don't take that to the bank. Earning 20% on the beach kind of thing. Few simple tools can figure it all out. Assuming your hand is on the tool, whose hand's your hand? Assuming it has a handhold, it's just a matter of concept of the right order, or of the orders being in harmony. Assuming one even wants harmony, it's that kind of a concept. We're dealing with a live one here. Money's worth.
That's because you don't shoot. The FBI is a gun culture. You can't advance here unless you're part of it. Every director in the history of the Bureau has come from the law enforcement side. The guys who shoot, guys who make arrests. Never been a director from the intel side. Never will be. Intel Siberia. The rubber gun squad. Using nothing but ones and zeros, just to see if I could do it.
Just your basic binary command line kind of thing. Of course, anybody could have a binary system. It's just a class of systems. System being a class of possible programs. And program is just one kind of, one class of possible matrices. And even those don't count for that much, unless we're emulating the living system itself as a reference, which most entities aren't particularly pursuing at all. So you get the star drift here, my friends. And the new metaphysics, stageway, scaffolding all around, serving no purpose whatsoever.
You're seeing the flower of the future. But not for you, Bruce.
Not for me.
No, you've had too much of a good thing already. Get up. Stop worshiping. This isn't your God anymore, although it once was.
Gone. Flower's gone.
No, you just can't see them. Back to work.
I saw.
Back to work, Bruce.
I saw death rising from the earth. And the ground itself. In one blue field. A present for my friends. At Thanksgiving.
I think he was willing to speak as candidly and as much as he did to the magazine right now, partly because he's got a record. But I also think McCartney, for a number of years, had been sort of planning, how am I going to deal with being 64? I'd written one of the most famous songs in the world called When I'm 64. I wrote it when I was whatever he was, in his mid-20s. How will I deal with it when that age actually comes around for me? So I ended up spending a good 4 days with him, and it was pretty incredible. I got to see Paul in a business meeting. I got to see Paul at home. Got to see him in the recording studio. But one scene that didn't make it into the piece was one that occurred in this famous room in his house, on the top floor of his house, his music room. And it was where John and Paul would retire to when they had to, like, grind out the final three or four songs on a record. And there's a wonderful scene in Hunter Davies' biography describing John and Paul writing with a little help from my friends. And so it was like the workroom, like they put themselves in the pressure cooker and just grind them out, finish the lyrics and so on. So I did say to Paul, after we sort of had a more formal interview in his lovely living room, I said to him, could we possibly see that upstairs room? And he looked a little surprised that I even knew there was an upstairs room that had any significance. And he said, well, there isn't going to be anything in it, but let's go look at it. And we went up there, and I guess him being up there...
She tells me, you never finish anything. You finish the police course, get taken care of again, baby. So after graduation, I get a blowjob again.
That's great. Your mother must be a wonderful woman.
Fuck yourself.
Put it this way, you're a black guy in Boston. You don't need any help from me to be completely fucked.
Specific detail of being in that very room when he first played the song Hey Jude for John.
All of those messages, not just from mothers and fathers and siblings and extended family, but from a society of television, a society of education.
know what's going on behind that door?
No, sir.
Analyst. Looking for a spy inside the intelligence community. Highest clearance.
I'm supposed to act like they aren't here. Assuming there's a they at all. It may just be my imagination. Whatever it is that's watching, it's not human. Unlike little dark-eyed Donna, it doesn't ever blink. What does a scanner see? Into the head? Down into the heart? Does it see into me? Into us? Clearly or darkly? I hope it sees clearly because I can't any longer see into myself. I see only Mark. I hope for everyone's sake the scanners do better. Because if the scanner sees only darkly the way I do, then I'm cursed. And cursed again. And will only wind up dead this way. Knowing very little and getting that little fragment wrong.
A society of religion, all of these things, dark and light.
Mainstream cosmetics and toiletries contain 60 or so different chemical carcinogens, and by carcinogens we mean cancer-causing agents, the majority of which have been identified in well-designed, valid animal tests, which are regarded by the scientific community as a strong indicator of human risk, and some of the other cancer-causing agents, if we have actually human evidence for them. Because you show this list of 20 different ingredients to the average chemist or even toxicologist, and they probably will not be able to tell you which of these are cancer-causing agents for the following reasons. While some of them are frank cancer-causing agents, others themselves are not cancer-causing agents themselves, but they break down in the bottle or the tube or the skin to release cancer-causing chemicals like formaldehyde. Or others are not cancer-causing themselves, but they will interact with other ingredients to form cancer-causing agents. Or others are not cancer-causing ingredients themselves, but they're contaminated by cancer-causing ingredients. So the average woman could use up to about 20 different cosmetics and toiletry products a day. And these could contain a dozen or so different chemical carcinogens, and they're applied to large surface areas of the skin. Their absorption is increased by the detergents and the surfactants present in them. So from birth till death, because infants, lotions also used for infants, almost the entire US population is exposed to cancer-causing, avoidable causes of cancer, and cancer-causing ingredients in daily products. So there's no warning whatsoever. So what words one uses to describe this FDA practice, whether you want to call it reckless, whether you want to call it harsher terms, is a matter for your perspective.
But behind you, into what is called the shadow, Jung spoke of it perhaps eloquently as that of the unconscious, equating the two as though they were exactly the same. Even more modern times in that regard. Robert Bly, so involved in the men's movement, certainly, and in growth in his way, speaks of it like it were a black bag that you drag along in which you have shoved all these things, all these aspects, all these parts of yourself. And truly, these analogies do work, and they are effective to a point. Your shadow contains all the stuff that your adaptive child elbowed out of the way in its attempt to survive, in its attempt to find security, in its attempt to belong, and to have some sense of self, called esteem. It is all that your panicked adolescent scattered in order to become idealized, in order not only to belong and to have a sense of esteem, but to be accepted and to be approved of, to in their way gain praise, if not from the family, then from peers. All that the child elbowed out in its adaptiveness, all that the panicked adolescent scattered in its need for absolutes, make up and become part of your shadow. And this you know, this you understand, at least intellectually, theoretically, what those parts are sometimes, what those aspects were sometimes, you have forgotten, but nonetheless you understand the concept. Indeed, your shadow is made up of all your aggression, because as little girls particularly, but also as boys, you weren't supposed to be aggressive at all, or that aggressive, respectively. Of ambition, because ambition is bad and wrong. You know what ambitious people are like.
Try me.
Do you play?
The most important thing is spotting people who are depressed, people who are too anxious to function, people who are suspicious of their coworkers, people who are socially withdrawn and never interact with others.
We're not just
the chance of being able to see them is when you watch Fast Times 50 times on cable, and I don't know why you would watch it on regular network TV after that. That was always like, why would you watch it? But if you did, just out of curiosity, you know, like you were talking about, is how did they cut it? You know, how did they pass it? You might do it for entertainment value, but you would see bonus scenes. So that would be your first glimpse of what it was like to see scenes that you couldn't have got elsewhere, because obviously they were scripted or put together in some form, but they were dropped from the narrative. I don't know when it was the first time you ever read a screenplay, but The Breakfast Club was one of the first screenplays I ever read, and the first thing that amazed me about it was is it's nothing like the movie.
Those are all signs of run-of-the-mill mental disorders that are very common.
It's definitely a mistake for Gary.
Who put the fucking cameras in this place?
Oh, who the fuck are you?
I'm the guy who does his job. You must be the other guy.
All treatable. And today, it's particularly tragic when people have a common disorder like depression, afflicting 10% of Americans, for which treatment's readily available, and they're not getting it because no one takes them by the hand and says, look, you're obviously not feeling well, and I know somebody who can help with this.
In the HBO special Murder 9-5 about murder in the workplace, you interview Richard Farley, who killed 7 and wounded 4 employees at the corporation where he worked after he was fired 2 years before. Tell us a little bit more about his crime.
Richard Farley had taken an immediate interest in a coworker, Laura Black, a young engineer, and had pursued her in inappropriate ways from the time they met. He'd only been at that facility 2 weeks when they met, and at that point, the right thing to do would have been to intervene and make sure that she and he were no longer working at that facility, and it was apparent from the outset. What he did was to follow her everywhere, obtain wax impressions of her keys, break into her personnel file, and even the papers regarding her security clearance. and made her life miserable through his pursuit of her. He's a classic example of what really deserves the term stalker, though that term's much overused these days. And for 2 years, he did this to her in the workplace before the company finally got rid of him. They had resisted firing him because he threatened to kill the human resources manager when he was counseled about this behavior. They made some ineffective efforts to get him into treatment, and it was treatment of a kind that wasn't going to work for him anyway. And 2 years after he was fired, having continued to stalk her for those 2 years, he then, with multiple weapons, 8 pounds to be precise, of weapons and ammunition, and he killed people. Shot computers and equipment as he through the facility. By the time the smoke had cleared, there were
you gotta lay low. Right now.
Kali, laying low is not what I do.
7 dead and others wounded, including
this happened.
You're an FBI informant? Are you fucking kidding me?
Grow up. Of course I talk to the FBI.
Do they know who I am?
I never gave up anybody who wasn't going down anyway. Nobody knows nothing.
Frank.
Do they know about me?
I know about you, Cully. You know I'd never give you up. You're like a...
What, like a son? To you? Is that what this is about? All that murdering and fucking and no sons.
Donahue believes it. And he's got 8 million people, Jack. 8 million people every night that watch him. Go along with me on this. I guarantee you, by 8:30 tomorrow night, every one of those 8 million sons of bitches are going to believe Jack Terry's story. I promise you that.
Griffin Mill was broke.
He was down to his last $6 million. No one knew he was ruined. Not Lisa and his wife. Not June and his first wife. Not even his lawyer. But the $3 million in investments that he made in the late 90s on the advice of his business manager, convinced of a permanent new economy charged by an expansion of wealth made possible by technology, having reached $22 million in February of 2001, were now barely doubled. And what might have been $25 million if the studio stock had once again reached $80 and he could have exercised his option for a half million shares at 30, was now gone forever because the parent company had made a stupid merger. Box office was down, it would never return, and the stock hadn't seen better than $17 in 5 years.
Buddy, I'm going to start right in with a controversial one because I've just shown you a photo I don't believe you've seen before. How did you come to choose the name Crickets?
Our drum player, Jerry Allison, thought of the name back last January when our group was formed. And we didn't know that there was another group at that time by that name.
You had to come to Australia to meet to find that out, didn't
Yes, sir. We found out about it just right soon after we had thought of the name. But we found out that the other group was non-existent anymore, and so nothing
more. They were a quintet. I can't even remember any of their records being released in this country, but I thought it might have been of interest to you. You're the oldest member, aren't you, in the group?
Yes, sir, that's right.
What's that, 21 or 22?
21.
21. Now, how did this group get started?
Well, we're all from the same hometown, and...
What's that? I'm not going to pronounce it. It's,
Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, Texas.
And we've known each other for quite some time, and Jerry and myself, the drummer, have been playing together for about 5 years, and then the other boy, Joe Malden, the bass player, got with us last January.
Is there another one, Nicky Sullivan? Was he in it somewhere along
the line? He was in the group for a while, and then he decided to quit and go back to school.
Thank you, Stilgar. The worm tired before dawn. Leto slid off its side and watched it dig itself into the dunes, moving slowly in the familiar pattern of the creatures.
Yeah, it's quite often, you know, whenever we do get the chance to go out.
Ah bon, c'est-à-dire ils sortent.
Ethan and Jesse, $300,000 a year out of his salary of $1.5 million before taxes. But since his income after taxes was barely $750,000 a year, that left him only $450,000 to spend after the alimony. He paid two mortgages. If he sold his house with Lisa, he might clear mill, but where would they go? The distress of the situation made him impotent, and he was allergic to Viagra. It was Griffin's impotence and his depression that had sent Lisa to a divorce lawyer, who asked her to secretly make copies of Griffin's financial statements. Griffin, who loved his second wife and believed in the strength of their marriage, much as he once believed in the value of Global Crossing, high of $61, low of zero, had never established a way of hiding his assets, and his prenuptial agreement with Lisa was generous, so it was a shock to her when, a lawyer wrote some numbers on a paper and showed her how she could not afford a divorce. Since her share of the stock would be less than $5 million, which, invested at what the lawyer suggested should be a conservative 3%, would generate about $150,000 a year. She might win more stock after a lawsuit, but even with $300,000 before taxes, she would bump around in coach, collect her own bags, and never again enjoy Christmas in Maui in a suite that cost $1,000 a day.
Hello, another planet.
You mean a less doomed one?
Yes, right. Yes. So it was decided to build three ships, three arcs in space. Anyway, where's the ship? So the idea was that into the first ship, the A ship, would go all the brilliant leaders,
the scientists,
yes, the great artists, you know, all the achievers. Mm. And then into the third ship, the C ship, would go all the people who did the actual work, who made things and did things. And then into the B ship,
that's us,
yes, would go everyone else, the middlemen, you see. And so we were sent off first.
But what was wrong with your planet?
Well, it was doomed, as I said. Apparently it was going to crash into the sun. Or was it the moon was going to crash into us?
No, no, I thought it was. But the planet was more or less bound to be invaded by a gigantic swarm of 12-foot piranha beetles.
No, 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 that's not what I was told. Just my commanding officer swore blind that the entire planet was in imminent danger of being eaten by an enormous mutant stargoat.
Oh, really?
Yes, but he was really? Just hoping that the ship he was going in would be ready in time.
But they made sure that they sent all you lot off first anyway.
Oh, yes. Well, everyone said, very nicely, I thought.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely one, yes, charming.
That it was very important for morale to feel that they would be arriving on a planet where they could be sure of a good haircut and where the phones were clean.
Oh, yes, well, I can see that would be very important. Mm. Can you? The other ships followed on after you, did they?
Well, it's funny you should mention that,
yes,
because,
yes,
yes, curiously enough, we haven't actually heard a peep out of them since we left 5 years ago.
Yes.
But they must be behind us somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, they were eaten by the goat.
Ah.
Day.
The lawyer advised her to stay with Griffith until he beat her. Do you think he will?
She
asked. Should happen, said the lawyer, an expression of resignation so infinitely repulsive to Lisa that in the rebound from the meeting, she located some pity for her husband, who in secret carried his financial ruin at the cost of his cock. The lawyer suggesting that she return to work was ridiculous. She had been a bad actress, her talent limited by her reflective intelligence and by a murmur. Just next to her conscience of her mother's last words before she had died of lymphoma 5 years ago, written in her impersonally elegant cursive on hospital stationery, expressing dismay that her bright and gracious daughter would follow a path so pebbled with crushed vanity. Lisa was 37. She was old. Griffin was 52. He was old.
To you. By 8:30 tomorrow night, every one of those 8 million sons of bitches are going to believe Jack Terry's story. I promise you that.
Total providence. I am walking home. I find myself on the street. I am rarely on, and look,
what I obtained for a mere $50.
What is it?
Well, this would be an 18-speed bike of the all-terrain variety. I noticed it in a neighbor's yard, and I inquired as to its availability. They had four of them. So I made a cash offer. $50. They acquiesced. They actually threw in these lemon yellow racing pants. They actually even hoisted it over the fence for me, which I found to be very neighborly.
Well, that's weird. I didn't know you could get an 18-speed bike nearly new for $50. It's amazing what you can get for $50. I'll give you 60 right now, no questions asked.
You know, this bike looks a lot like the bike that this girl lives across the street from me had that got ripped off about a month ago. This bike could be hot. They probably jacked it, these hoister friends of yours.
Sure they did. I mean, if they've got four and selling it that cheap.
Right? You should at least show it to her so she can see if it's hers.
Yeah, okay, I can do that. But this is a boy's bike, okay? So it can't be. Not to invalidate your intuition, but it's not possible. Thank you.
Why do you say it's an 18-speed when it only has 9 gears?
Huh? What?
Yeah, yeah. 6 right here, 3 at the other end of the chain. 6 plus 3 equals 9. It's a 9-speed bike.
Yeah, but even a 9-speed bike for $50, you still got a good deal.
Okay, those guys told me it was 18 speeds. I just got griefed. I just got...
Wait! Wait. Now I count 8. 6 here, and then 2 in the front. That makes 8.
What do you think happened to the missing gears?
Think? I know. They were probably working on it, these gypsy grifters, with improper tools and no technical knowledge, no understanding of reverse engineering. And when they attempted to reassemble it, they panicked. They got scared and they left 9 orphan gears. They're just laying on the floor. They're probably still there on the floor of the garage.
Let's just go rescue the orphan gears, dude.
Don't you see that that's part of the plan? They're going to try to sell them to me, not give them to me as they rightfully should have, as included in part of the original sale price. Oh, my God, there's no telling what else they've... bait and switched.
Yeah, but all of it, if all of us go together, oh, they'll give them back. Oh, you bet they will. Oh, you bet they will. Let's just go as a team, okay?
Wait. Don't you think that before we go over and accuse and start some shit, we should find out for sure?
Absolutely right, Donna. Who do we know who's an authority on this type of fight?
Oh! Oh! Get what? Off me! Let me...
We are all way too close to this. There's only one thing we can do to thwart the plot of these albino shape-shifting lizard bitches. We are going to take this bike outside, ask the first person we see. We're going to introduce some novelty that way we get an objective viewpoint.
I'm fine, but I'm Hegel!
By the way, I might take you up on that $60 offer.
No, that was for an 18-speed. Oh, now, for this, 18 God. Minus 10, I'll give you $23.75.
Are you certain that's the right math on that?
Now, the sound is very clear. It's the picture that's a little fuzzy.
Pray for me.
Thank you.
another French garment was nearly deported.
Women, again, like the 20s, were supposed to have very boyish figures. And when the ethnic folkwear fashions came in, the shaped bosoms were not really part of the deal.
The feminists really fired things up.
The girls were burning the bras, and the industry took a dive, knocked the hell out of the business. Donna, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the industry should give her a medal for what she has done for the industry.
By bringing breasts back to the forefront of fashion, Madonna became a lingerie legend in her own time. Inspired by her sexy style, good girls everywhere wanted to be bad, and bustiers became big business.
Dear friends, I thank you for your assistance these many years. It seems, however, that my greatest utility to you has come to an end, and it is time to seclude myself from active service. Since communicating last, and one wonders if because of it, I have been promoted to a higher do-nothing senior executive job, outside of regular access to information within the counterintelligence program. It is as if I am being isolated. Furthermore, I believe I have detected repeated bursting radio signal emanations from my vehicle.
Tony, you yourself have written in an article for the photographer Unveiled that the photograph was only part of the experience of the art of photography, that the interaction between the photograph itself and the person viewing the photograph was, in fact, the essence of the photographic art. And therefore, if a piece of physical
And therefore, evidence, if the photograph itself is missing, you cannot have that
interaction. No, but the photograph is not missing. It is not
missing if you
can't
see it. It
is not entirely evident.
I have not found their source, but as you wisely do, I will leave this alone, for knowledge of their existence is sufficient. Amusing, the games children play.
Things become radiant of that being of beings which shines through us all. Well, there's no more wonderful world than that which the scientists are showing to us today. And the pity of it is that our literary people feel themselves alienated from that. There's this funny idea in our academic life of two societies, the Society of Science, the Society of Arts and Letters. This is a false division. One of the problems, I think, of that young woman who spoke of hating life was that she hadn't learned to put together what science is showing us about the prodigious nature of life, the sublime nature of the universe, and her own precious studies in the humanities.
Politely asked him to dress for an occasion, like when someone's parents came to town, and then Eddie would put on his kilt, a kilt he made out of a pair of cut-off jeans, slashed free at the legs. Once my mom came to visit me at the palace, and I don't know what mom expected, but what she got was Eddie, naked and relaxed, Eddie reading the New York Times book review section. It made me very nervous when Eddie sat down with my mother, but my mom loved the New York Times book reviews, and Eddie must have sensed that because he offered it to her.
Erased my tapes, they've made you disappear, and next it's going to be me. But I'm not disappearing, I'll tell you that.
That's because you don't shoot.
The FBI is a gun culture.
Can I ask you something?
You can sit. So, do you know what we do here? My section?
Sir, yes, sir, I have an idea.
Whoa. Let's say you have no idea and leave it at that, okay? No idea. Zip. None. If you had an idea about what we do, we would not be good at what we do, would we? We would be cunts. You calling us cunts?
As we've dealt with these previous waves, as we ended, worked with ending shame part one and that pre-verbal shame, and then moved on to that second wave of shame with its psychic contracts of pain, and you've been with us as we've worked with those ever powerful and potent adolescent years. And subsequently to those evenings, you have complemented your work with shame with the recorded sessions, with the recorded data and information. Others of you unable to be present during those evenings have initiated your work with shame from the tapes themselves, working with the data, working with the techniques, and have worked quite brilliantly, quite beautifully, that is true. And if perchance you're here and have not had that opportunity, we strongly recommend that you get those cassettes and you work with that data and you work with those techniques. Even if you're absolutely convinced that you don't have shame at that wave or at that level, nonetheless vitally important to work with it all the same, to discover that in fact it is more present than you would like to or have hitherto admitted. But you see, as you work with that information, whether in person or through cassette, the question arises and the assumption arises, well, why not just take that information? Why not just use those techniques that so adequately work for those pre-verbal childhood and adolescent levels of shame? And why not just adapt them and use them for the shame that's happening now?
Staff Sergeant Dignam has a style of his own. I'm afraid we all have to get used to it.
So, you got family connections down in Southie, right? Through your father? Why don't you tell us about your Uncle Jackie?
He was a carpet layer for Jordan Marsh.
Uncle Jackie was a small-time bookie who tended bar at the vets in Somerville. He got popped by Nicastro in 95. We found his body out by the airport.
That's right. I remember his funeral.
Good. Closed casket?
That's right.
So, tell anybody up at Deerfield? That is before you got kicked out for wailing on a gym teacher with a folding chair. You had Uncle Meta's demise like that. I got a question. How fucked up are you?
Had in mind, right, and make up your own mind about it. And Gilliam is ecstatic. He loves the fact that version is out there.
The only director's cut that doesn't have the proper credit on is the Sid Sheinberg director's cut, which eventually got out on television. People thought I'd be shocked, and I was delighted because it's a chance for people to see what they intended to make. There's probably people growing up thinking that's Brazil, but luckily they've got the Voyager Criterion Collection Laserdisc to prove what it really is.
Ultimately, hey, if that's somebody's favorite version of the movie, is that so bad? Or
you got quite the family tree here, kid.
That maggot uncle of yours, Tommy Costigan's another goof. He gets busted selling guns to federal officers, among many, many, many other departures from our normative behavior.
And what's this got to do with me, huh?
And we would suggest the question and the assumption certainly has merit. For indeed, using that information and using those techniques can go a long way toward working with the shame, the deadening pain of adult shame. That is true. But as you listen to those cassettes or as you're aware of those levels, you realize that each of them is unique in their own way, and that the techniques offered were unique in their own way. And though that information and those techniques can be effective, can go a long way, the most elegant way to end and truly heal the shame is by working with the techniques that are geared specifically, working with the information that is geared specifically for these adult levels of shame that you are in the midst of. Not that has happened in the past, but that is happening right now.
Why are you pretending to be a cop? Your old man was a fucking hump from Southie. Baggage handle at the airport, right? Family's all criminals except for the old man, huh?
And one priest, since you seem to know everything.
Well, last I heard, he was happily married to a 12-year-old boy living on a beach in Thailand. Fucking family's dug into the Southie projects like ticks. 3 deca men at best. You, however, grew up on the North Shore, huh? A lottie fucking da. You were kind of a double kid, I bet, right? Huh? One kid with your old man, one kid with your mother. You're upper middle class during the weeks, then you're dropping your eyes and you're hanging in the big bad Southie projects with your daddy the fucking donkey on the weekends. I got that right? Yep. You have different accents?
Complicated as it is, by a present shame that is influencing the future, as opposed to a past shame that is influencing the present.
Memory, 9 years old. I play on the bed, bouncing and falling and impale. My coochie snorcher on the bedpost. I make high-pitched screaming noises that come straight from my coochie snorcher's mouth. I get taken to the hospital and they sew it up down there from where it's been torn apart. Memory, 10 years old. I'm at my father's house and he's having a party upstairs. Everyone's drinking. I'm playing alone in the basement, and I'm trying on my new cotton white brown panties that my father's girlfriend gave me. Suddenly, my father's best friend, this big man, Alfred, comes up from behind and pulls my new underpants down and sticks his big, hard penis right into my coochie snorcher. I scream, I kick, I try to fight him off, but he already gets in. My daddy's there then. And he has a gun, and there is loud, horrible noise, and then there is blood all over Alfred and me. Lots of blood. I am sure my coochie snorcher is finally falling out. Alfred is paralyzed for life, and my mama doesn't let me see my father again for 7 years. Memory.
You have different accents? You did, didn't you, you little fucking snake? You were like different people.
And Yoko. And he actually mimed it for me. He said, now my piano is right here. And he went into a little crouch as if he was sitting at the piano. It was kind of plangent and kind of poignant. I mean, the piano's not there now. The room is very much disassembled. There's some sort of tumbled furniture and an actually disassembled couch. And so now it was not the room it had been, but he was sort of pretending he was at a piano and pretending John was standing behind him with Yoko. And he said, it was here where I sang to him, the movement you need is on your shoulder, which was just a nonsense lyric that I had in there as a space holder. So I was in the middle and I turned to John and I said, you know, I'm going to change that. And John said, you won't, will you? You know, you're not going to change that.
And so you shouldn't have any of that. All your weakness and lack of reliability, your lack of preparedness, all shoved behind you because it doesn't conform, it doesn't fit with this idealized self that you are supposed to be, to make them proud, to make them happy, to make them decide to let you live another day, another week, another month or year.
Rimsky-Korsakov, Stravinsky's only real composition teacher. Every account of Rimsky-Korsakov's teaching stresses his insistence on a regular working method and his distaste for any haphazard dependence on inspiration. His creative philosophy was purely that of the 19th century bourgeois work ethic. He believed that idleness was a kind of sin and that inspiration was the reward for persistence.
You a psychiatrist? Well, if I was, I'd ask you why you were a statey making 30 grand a year, and I think if I was Sigmund fucking Freud, I wouldn't get an answer. So tell me, what's a lace curtain motherfucker like you doing in the stateies?
Families are always rising or falling in America, am I right?
Who said that?
It's almost as if we live in a goldfish bowl where everyone can see us clearly, and it's very hard for us to ever appear as anything other than the people we really are.
not for everyone. I understand that. And like, and it's always tone it down. We get to, you know, like old people. And like, well, first of all, why is old people? Why do they always get? Like, I do shows, like, in casinos, and you get all the blue hairs and the walkers, and they get, tone it down, these are old people. Why do you coddle the old people? They don't want to hear a bunch of sodomy jokes. They're old people. Like, my generation invented sodomy. They would have no... In our day, we only had sex to keep warm. They know. They've done everything. Why do they... See, old people get
Mr.
you to pity...
Mr. Warner, not guilty. Mr. Wellstone... Mr. Wellstone, not guilty. Mr. Wyden.
Johnny Roger, and I think
Mr. Wyden, not guilty.
Mr. Abraham. Mr. Abraham, guilty. Mr. Akaka. Mr. Akaka, not guilty. Mr. Allard. Mr. Allard, guilty. Mr. Ashcroft. Mr. Ashcroft. Guilty. Mr. Balkan.
Jolly Roger. And
Mr. Balkan. Not guilty. Mr. Bye.
2,000 years ago.
Mr. Bennett.
2,000 years ago.
Mr. Bennett. Guilty.
The proudest boast was.
Mr. Biden.
Kiwis.
Mr. Biden.
Romana.
Not guilty.
Some.
Mr. Bingaman.
Today.
Mr. Bingaman.
In the world of
not
freedom.
Guilty. Mr. Bond.
The proudest boast is...
Mr. Bond.
Ash Field, I'm B. Lena.
Mrs. Foster.
There are some who say...
Mr. Bro.
There are some who
not
say...
Guilty. Mr. Brownback.
That communism
Mr.
is
Mr.
the wave of the future.
Guilty.
Let them
Mr.
come
Brown.
To Berlin.
Mr. Bunning. Mr. Bunning. Guilty. Mr. Byrne, guilty.
Hawthorne. What's the matter, smartass? You don't know any fucking Shakespeare?
We have a question. Do you want to be a cop? But you want to appear to be a cop.
The things that that we no longer see as a value, for example, and you know, whenever money gets tight, we cut education. You know, we cut the arts.
That's right.
And those things are going to turn around.
Hawthorne. What's the matter, smartass? You don't know any fucking Shakespeare?
System of geometry itself. And if you remember taking plane geometry, you remember the wonderful fun you had. Your teacher gave you certain axioms and then said, here's a theorem, and what you've got to do is to show that you can logically derive this theorem from these axioms in a finite number of steps, where every step that you take can be justified by appealing to some rule of inference that has already been established. And it's all very tightly, tightly knit. And the axioms that are in there are perfectly straightforward things like the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Other allegedly fairly obvious things like in space you can only construct one line that is parallel to a line that you've already got in place. And parallel, you'll remember, means that even if extended infinitely in both directions, it never intersects the baseline. It remains equidistant from it, on and on and on. And the parallel postulate says you can only get one of those. Because as soon as you try to squeeze in another one, it's either going to tilt down on one end and intersect down there, or tilt down on the other end and intersect down there. So you've got some axioms like that about the number of parallel lines that you can have and what straight lines are and so on.
We have a question. Do you want to be a cop, or do you want to appear to be a cop? Honest question. A lot of guys want to appear to be cops. Gun, badge, pretend they're on TV.
Yeah, a lot of them just want to slam a nigga's head through a plate glass window.
I'm all set without your own personal job application.
The fuck did you say to me, Trini?
With all due respect, sir, what do you want from me?
Hey, asshole, he can't help you. I know what you are, okay? I know what you are, and I know what you're not. I'm the best friend you have on the face of this earth, and I'm going to help you understand something, you punk. You're no fucking cop.
Right. We deal in deception here. What we do not deal with is self-deception. 5 years from now, you could be anything else in the world, but you will not be a Massachusetts state trooper.
You sure of that?
I'm sure of that.
Garen fucking Teed. You got 1,400 on your SATs, kid. You're an astronaut, not a statey.
And his interest in all the arts was to be combined in an astonishingly productive manner. Diaghilev was an impresario whose self-avowed mission in life was to bring the arts of Russia to the attention of Western Europe in general, Paris in particular.
You don't have much family.
I don't have any family. So what do?
There's money behind this operation. You won't be paid as a regular cop, but there's a bonus involved. Tax-free. We can't conceal that you were a trainee. You'll be convicted of a crime. We're thinking a guilty plea to assault and battery would make sense.
Given your nature?
You'll do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup. You'll be on probation, see a court-ordered shrink, the whole nine yards.
You want to serve the Commonwealth, this is your chance. We need you, pal. You've already pretended to be a Costigan from South Boston.
Every weekend, Sergeant.
Perfect.
Do it again. For me.
Onward.
Ma vediamo di esaminare un po' più in dettaglio.
But let's try to have a bit of a detailed look at the mathematical properties of some of Escher's mosaics. Here's one. Let's try and reconstruct the design, and let's look at what this outline is with which we managed to generate the entire figure. To be precise, we start by noticing that if I turn this elementary structure around this point, I end up by reconstructing exactly the same design. And if I turn it once more, I end up with another piece of the design. Another thing I can do is to reflect around these axes and from this image get this other one that I didn't get by rotating previously. And so on. In other words, with respect to these points, I have a rotating symmetry of the third order.
P3-1M.
What they've deliberately done is mix the cocaine with the oil so that it cannot be extracted, but my knowledge of chemistry is such that I know precisely how to separate the oil from the cocaine. Now I can freeze it, cause cocaine crystals to rise to the top because they are lighter than the oil. The terminal step, of course, I keep to myself, but suffice to say, it involves an intricate and methodological process of filtering.
How long is it going to be in there?
Just about a half an hour.
How many people in this room are lying? Can you tell?
Attention to it. How many hours do we get?
Let me work backwards first. Gary Middleman of...
are developing turbo generators, electric generators that are small, and it looks as though they're headed towards interesting new markets, dealing with automotive use, hybrid electric cars, which is what you're talking about, and residential and small business use.
If you can make your money back on the film, then you actually have commercial freedom. You can do damn near pretty much anything you want. And that was why Sam was able to do the personal, hard-hitting, idiosyncratic, Sam Fuller work that he was able to do, inside of the studio system. Sam Fuller wasn't an independent filmmaker. He worked for Daryl Zanuck.
I was with Zanuck, and he has his man, his foreign man, did a map. And he says, here's the story he wants to make. Would you mark the map with a cross on the states that'll not run this picture? As an expert working for 20th Century Fox. So there are about 8 or 10 states. Boom, 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 boom. Then he turns to another man. What's the take, general take, overall for 10 years or 20 years? And our picture's in those 6 or 7 states. Profit. He says, so and so and so and so and so and so. And I look at him. He's figuring out, is it worth losing all that to make it? And he said, make it. That's it. That's a guy.
It's in the hands. It's little gestures, tension around the mouth. If you're after a career in intel, you really ought to master all that. Lady two tables over, her feet are pointed toward the door. Subconscious cue, she wants out. Man to your right, there's a soda can and 2 books sitting on the table in front of him, indicating a subconscious desire to create a barrier between himself and his interrogator. Woman in the corner, slouching to feign comfort. subconscious attempt to lean away from the questions. And there's another guy. His hands keep fidgeting, but he's not bad, actually. He must be saying something fairly close to the truth. Most convincing lies are always rooted in some kind of truth.
I'm bored.
Month when the crash at Roswell occurred, and all of our rockets that we did launch could be accounted for during that time period, and there was nothing that White Sands had available at that time that could reach that far over to Roswell. As far as White Sands is concerned, we're pretty clean on this incident.
If the military authorities are to be believed, the records rule out the possibility of a crashed V-2. But the military admitted lying before to cover up something more secret. It is this possibility which leads many to believe that the cover-up continues. And according to Ray Santilli, the cameraman of the alleged alien autopsy seems to offer a tantalizing clue.
The fact is, all markets are regulated in some way. The real question is not, is the market regulated or not? It's rather, to whose interest is it regulated?
Now, I'm not going to run the geometrical proof. That would be an absurd exercise on my part to try to do it, but let me tell you what the burden of the geometrical proof is. And you may remember this from when you took plane geometry. Without there being any mention whatever in the definition of a triangle of the size of any of the triangle's angles, or even for that matter, although tri means three, it's not built into the definition, defined in terms of three dots, not in terms of three angles. There being no mention of those angles nor of their size, nevertheless, by careful reasoning, by strict deduction from the axioms of geometry, which are allegedly self-evident, allegedly beyond logical doubt, one may demonstrate in a tight formal proof that if you take any triangle at all, and call the interior angles A, B, and C, and measure them, and add them up, the total is always going to be 180 degrees. Always. Now, you can think about that for a minute, and you can even in your mind's eye sort of see how it works, that if you make one angle smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, then the other angles out there are going to be getting less and less acute to compensate for it. And as it turns out, they balance. So that the sum is always going to be 180 degrees. Now, what's the point of all this for Descartes? Descartes says, here is something that we can discover about triangles by the pure exercise of the rational mind. We can then confirm it if we want to by going and looking at triangles. But even then, we're going to realize that what we discover empirically is not going to be quite right because the triangle is an abstract entity anyway, and nobody is going to be in a position to draw a perfectly good one. But nevertheless, we can confirm fairly nicely that, yeah, how about that? No matter how I arrange the shape of my triangular sail, it always winds up some 180 degrees. There, says Descartes, is something that we can know about the world by reason and reason alone.
Now's the time. Company, him I see
pills? Great. Why don't you just give me a bottle of scotch and a handgun to blow my fucking head off? Are we done here with this psychiatry bullshit?
You know what?
What the fuck did I just put myself through? I'm fucking out of here. And what if that was a legitimate threat? Think about it. Fucking hot shot. Together,
we will hold his banner high. Now's the time to say goodbye to all I can believe. Him I see.
Crap, frick!
K-A-A-A-A-E-Y. Him. Oh, you. Is. He.
Fan, stove, toaster, blankets, carpets, and clothes, to oil or gas well somewhere, trucks, trains, buses, cars.
I don't want to live in some domed city. Why should I think of traveling to the moon? These are little games of little alienated people. When the great bulk of mankind is suffering, and this is the great tragedy. So I would simply say, leave me alone with that stuff. I can play their games without me.
Oil, coal, gas, and water. Light, sound, heat and electricity. Sunlight, wind or waterfalls. Iron and steel. Food, clothing and shelter. Productivity and consumption.
Time. A few people take up a new lifestyle or new hobbies, or react differently and gradually if it's sound, or if it fits into the situation. You find all over the place a very great increase, let's say, in the interest in gardening. This is the great tragedy. Why should I think of traveling to the moon? These are little games of little alienated people. And if we do not withdraw what I call the TLC factor, TLC meaning tender loving care, then nature responds immensely generously.
Production and the standard of living from the tides or the wind. Industry, environmentalists, consumers, and government.
Well, if we do withdraw this factor, then she has to be bullied.
Structures that raised 1,000 feet into the air, and yet it was all distinctly insect-like. There was no getting away from the fact that this was a hive. And very possibly, the main hive. After an hour's march, it became apparent that the source of the peculiar noise, which had filled our ears since arriving underground, was a vast machine whose whirling parts were visible in the distance. The importance for the moment was a mystery, but the other sights of this strange place were readily apparent.
Oh, my. Look at the extent of this civilization, Bedford. The architecture, the multitudes. How many centuries has it been here, hidden from our telescopes?
Mm. Hard to believe, yes. Stop sticking me with that spear.
I suppose they want us to keep moving.
I'm tired and I want to rest. Do you understand me? I want to rest.
I don't think he speaks English.
Well, I've made myself perfectly clear. I want to rest.
Screaming will not get him to understand.
Worse on Earth.
Ow! Well, it doesn't work here.
Ouch! In fact, it's all marked
touchy creatures, aren't they?
If you want us to go somewhere, point.
The fact is, all markets are regulated in some way. The real question is not, is the market regulated or not? It's rather, to whose interest is it regulated? Is it regulated to the interests of the citizens who make up a country? Or is it regulated to the interests of people who are in the business of making profit? You know, this is something I always think when I think of Adam Smith and The Wealth of Nations, because Smith has been very unfairly appropriated by a couple of generations of right-wing economic thinkers, mainly American, as the great harbinger and defender of free markets. But in fact, if you read The Wealth of Nations, and more importantly, if you read The Theory of Moral Sentiments, which is his greater book, you know, Adam Smith was an 18th century Scottish moralist. He believed in justice, and he believed in subsidization of education, of the postal service, of garbage removal. In fact, if you read him, I think, properly, he's a welfarist liberal. And this is very important, because what he reminds us of is that all markets are unfree. The question is really, how are they unfree, and who benefits from the way that they're unfree? Right? Who benefits from the constraints that will always be there?
Complicated as it is by a current perspective as opposed to a past retrospective. Complicated as it is by a shame that is happening now in the midst of the set as opposed to outside of the set. Adult shame is further complicated. It is further complicated by the fact that in the midst of it, you are becoming or have become an offender. Now, we are not, clearly, we are not suggesting that all of you here are molesting your children or that you're molesting anybody for that matter. No, we are not suggesting that, not at all. Though, sadly, some within the consensus who are suffering from adult shame are doing just that. No, we are not suggesting that for you, but what we are suggesting is this, that as adults, in the midst of your adult shame, you are passing that shame on in your reality. You are passing it on either by the teaching, or by abandoning, or by abusing, or by wronging. If not your children, then your peers, perhaps those peers you care about and love the most. You are passing it on. And if you're not already passing it on, you will pass it on to others. That is a phenomena. That is a phenomena of shame. And once you become an offender, dealing with adult shame becomes even more complicated by that factor than by the present as opposed to the past, the perspective as opposed to the retrospective, being in the set rather than outside the set. It is more complicated once you become the offender to deal with this most deadening shame with its deadening pain. That is a phenomena of this particular malady that is unlike so many other of the maladies that you may experience or from which you may suffer. That if you do not heal this shame, you will infect others with it. If you do not end this shame with you, you will pass it on to others, much as it was passed on to you by those previously who did not heal or did not end it for themselves. And you have worked so beautifully, so patiently over this period of almost 2 years. Don't stop now. Don't stop short. This is an example of what we mean by rounding third and heading home. Don't just work with those previous waves and then leave this one, the most devastating of them all, wide open so that you end up, despite yourself, passing it on to others, infecting others with it. It is time now, and you are ready, more than ready, to truly end this shame, truly heal this pain. And as this year of exploration draws more rapidly than you think to an end, and as the new year of achievement already seems to be moving in on you, it is time to really end now, conclusively, finally, fully and totally, this malady of shame. And that's what we're here tonight to work with you about. And in order to adequately do that, certain things must be accomplished. First, it is important that you come to peace. That you come to peace with the necessity of shame as a human function. That you come to peace, secondly, with the presence, not the content, but the presence of adult shame in you. Thirdly, that you understand, that you fully understand the devastating impact and what went wrong with shame in these adult years with its deadening pain. And finally, that you learn the specific technique geared precisely for this kind of shame and to end the shame completely unconclusively.
When did my name be? That's not nice! Am I? Am I wearing you guys out? Alright. I hope you picked up a guy saying that I'm wearing them out, because otherwise I'm going to look one of those bad. I hate comedians who are like, fucking strap in, motherfuckers, because I'm about to get really dangerous. And then the next thing they always say is, the fucking food on airplanes is bullshit. Like, what? There is nothing safer than a comedian who tells you he's dangerous. So I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm like the cup of coffee with the most cream and sugar in it. Whee! Think of it that way. But thank you. I'm flattered. Thank you. All right. I have another 4 hours, and then I'm done. That's it. Another 4 hours. Swear to God.
So this guy's been going around claiming to be a world-famous imposter, right?
Says he's posed at one time or another as a surgeon at Johns Hopkins, as a theoretical submolecular high-velocity particle research physicist on a federal grant at Harvard, as a Finnish novelist who won the Nobel Prize for Literature, as a deposed Argentinian president who was married to a go-go dancer from Chicago.
He got away with all that? He never got caught?
Okay, you broke my flow, so now I guess I'll just have to segue down to the near. And that's just it. You see, he didn't pose as any of those. He just posed as a world-famous imposter. Yeah, it came out later in the L.A. Times. They checked up, and he was pushing a broom at Disneyland or something. He saw that old DiCaprio movie, you know, the one where he plays a world-famous imposter before Leonardo hit his Elvis stage. And his first thought was, hey, I could poses all those exotic guys and get away with it. But then his next thought was, hell, why bother? I could just pose as an imposter and it'd be a lot easier. They say that he made more money than the actual imposter, although I'm not sure if they adjust for inflation.
Well, you know, we all see imposters now and then, but not posing as subatomic physicists.
Oh, as a narc, you mean?
Oh, what's a narc look like? That's like asking what's an imposter look like. I once talked to this dealer who'd been busted, and I asked him what the narc had busted looked like.
Let me see, you say he looked just like us?
More so. So I guess the moral of that is, stay away from guys looking the same as us.
Well, there are female narcs.
And disappears. He's kind of the spirit of the jungle. She is dressed in very, very light clothes. She fits with the foot of the jungle. It's a good character, the one of Rima. But from my point of view, Hudson didn't have a very, very deep knowledge of the rainforest.
Felipe Arocena is a Uruguayan sociologist and visiting professor at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. He studied Hudson's rambles on horseback in Brazil, Uruguay, and Patagonia, and is the author of William Henry Hudson, Life, Literature, and Science. Felipe Arocena thinks Green Mansions lacks the authenticity of Hudson's other work, although the book was a bestseller.
Winnard spends a huge amount of time struggling with his own background on religion, and indeed he had set out on the voyage, let's not forget that he'd set out hoping that he would throw light on information which would prove a Genesis account. I mean, that was Darwin's perspective when he set out.
There is one of the reasons why social Darwinism is no longer fashionable. But Darwin himself was talking about something quite different. He was talking about true biological evolution. As we do, that's one difference. But also pattern, shape, they probably see it in a very different way from us. They see it as something which can be called flicker, which means they don't really see a shape as we see it, as a star shape, wouldn't look like a star shape to them. They would interpret it as a certain degree of flicker, which is sort of a measure of how complicated it is. You could...
D takes E5. Removes the threat on Black's Knight. Black wins a pawn for a pawn. Material is even.
You can mimic a particular shape for an insect by providing a flashing light, flashing at a certain frequency, because it has the same flicker value.
Like a strobe light?
Yeah. Yes.
But if they have compound eyes, do you think morpho butterflies would see external reality, something like Swiss cheese?
No, not like Swiss cheese, because there's. If you mean, does the compound eye impose holes? No, I don't think it would be like that. There's no reason in principle why a compound eye shouldn't provide an image, the same sort of image as we have, only far, far less high resolution, a much more pixelated image.
Every American should know that our nation, our free society, is an international target in a dangerous world.
Than that, but it wouldn't be like a Swiss cheese, I don't think, no.
felt her lips against my forehead. "You've been with Armand," she said. "You want to go with him." She put her arms around my neck. She held me tight, and I closed my eyes and buried my face in her hair. "Whatever you wish," she vowed. "Whatever you wish." "Are you happy? Do you have what you want?" I begged her. "Yes, Louis." She held me against her dress, her fingers clasping the back of my neck. "I have all that I want. But do you truly understand what you are choosing in Armand?" I turned away from her. "Either I go with him or I die," I said. "And it's something else, which is irrational and unexplainable and which satisfies only me." "Which is?" she asked. "That I love him," I said. "No doubt you do," she mused. "But then you could love even me." "Claudia, Claudia." I held her close to me, thinking that in a little while I won't have her anymore. It seemed a lamp died somewhere. I was sitting on the verge of a dream. I half closed my eyes. Often afterwards, I tried to remember those moments. How, being off my guard, I was somehow insensible to the subtle changes which must have been taking place there. All I could remember was the soft changing of the light. And then I opened my eyes, and it was too late. I remember standing upright, Claudia's hand slipping on my arm, and the vision of a host of black-dressed men and women moving through the rooms. I shouted out against them, shouted for Madeleine, saw her wake with a start. There was Santiago and Celeste coming towards us, and behind them Estelle and the others whose names I didn't know. I was shouting to Claudia to run, having pulled back the door. I was shoving her through it and then was stretched across it, kicking out at Santiago as he came. I don't remember any turning point when anyone's strength overcame my own. I remember simply being outnumbered. I was stilled, surrounded, and forced out of the rooms. Madeleine was next to me, sobbing still, and all of us were pressed into a carriage. Over and over I was struck, and still I did not lose consciousness. And as soon as we were dragged into the Théâtre des Vampires, I was crying out for Armand. I was let go, only to stagger on the cellar steps. And then I saw Lestat. Lestat standing there in the center of the ballroom, erect, his gray eyes sharp and focused, his mouth lengthening in a cunning smile. But those scars still scored every inch of his white flesh, and the eyes burned with a silent rage. "This is the one," said Santiago, thrusting me forward. But Lestat turned sharply to him and said in a harsh, low voice, "I told you I wanted Claudia, the child. She was the one." "Lestat," I began, "you are alive. You have your life. Tell them how you treated us." "No," he shook his head furiously. "You come back to me, Louis," he said. "Are you mad?" "You promised me," he said to Santiago. "I could take him back with me to New Orleans." And then his breath became frantic, and he burst out, "Claudia, where is she? She's the one who did it to me. I told you. Listen to me."
"What's that?"
"Huh?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Come here. Come here. Look at this. Look at this."
"Oh, it's still hot cigarette, but it sure is. Wait a second. They lit a joint. Oh, they were here, Bob. Fuck it. Bear is right. There was somebody here. This roach is still hot. Smell it."
"Yes. And that roach may not have been left here by accident. This evidence may not be a slip-up."
"So what now?"
"Maybe they were here specifically to plant drugs in the house, setting us up, then phoning in a tip later. It could be in the phone. It could be in the wall outlets. We're going to have to go through this house and get it absolutely clean before they phone us in, unless they already have. We might only have minutes."
"You check the wall sockets. I'll tear this ball apart."
Wait, hold on. If they see us scrambling around right before the raid.
"What raid?"
"If we are running around frantically trying to flush the drugs, then we can't allege, even though it's true that we didn't know they were here, they're going to find us holding them. Or maybe that's part of the plan."
"Oh, shit. We can't do anything. We're fucked, man. Fuck."
"Ferris, what about the super secret surveillance cameras?"
"What?
The doodads, man."
"Oh, yes, of course. Right, of course. How could I have forgotten?" "Oh, this should be extremely informational at this point. I believe this will tell us a great deal." "Although it probably wouldn't have proven to be that important."
"Let me guess. Didn't record.
allow me to suggest that it's highly likely that the tow truck was bugged, thus affording them ample time and opportunity to deploy an operative to defuse and otherwise raise the evidence obtained.
All your insecurities shoved away, denied, redressed as something else but denied. It is made up of your lack of character and the lack of morality, and also of your pride and of your hostility. Hostility more than anger, more than hurt. It is an anger that wants to hurt, often produced by an anger that did hurt. Your pride, your hostility, and avarice.
I wrote a program last night using nothing but ones and zeros, just to see if I could do it. 612 bits of encryption, completely unbreakable. But you get the office with the window.
That hunger, that thirst, that greed that can never be answered, never be sated. All this ugly stuff, all of this is part of your shadow. What you were taught and conditioned, manipulated to deny, to discount, to resist, to refuse. What your child elbowed out of the way, what your adolescence scattered. That sense of your aggression, your ambition.
To sacrifice someone, a living person, without them ever knowing it. I mean, if he'd understood, if he had volunteered. But he doesn't know, and he never did. He didn't volunteer for this.
Sure he did. It was his job.
It wasn't his job to get addicted. We took care of that. Look, Mike, I gotta get out. I can't do this again. I want it to end. I lay in bed at night, and I can't sleep, and I just think, shit, we are colder than they are.
I don't think so. I believe God's M.O. is to transmute evil into good, and if he's active here, he's doing that now. Although our eyes can't perceive it. The whole process is hidden beneath the surface of our reality. It will only be revealed later. And even then, the people of the future, our children's children, will never truly know this awful time that we've gone through and the losses we took. Maybe some footnote in a minor history book. A brief mention with no list of the fallen.
The axe, the hostility, the avarice. It is also all that you have refused to be responsible for yet. It is so amazing, so ironical, so poignantly sad, that there are so many who get angry at the very idea that reality is a choice.
Tell me 5 things about yourself, 4 of them true.
I'm sorry.
It's a game we used to play at the Soviet analytical unit. Keep ourselves sharp. It's lie detection.
Oh, I don't think I'd be much good at bluffing.
That would have counted as your lie, right there.
Since you seem to be proceeding through life like a cat without whiskers perpetually caught behind the refrigerator. Your life and watching you live it is like a gag reel of ineffective bodily functions. I swear to God that a toddler has a better understanding of the intricacies of chew, swallow, digest, don't kill yourself on your TV dinner. And yet, you've managed to turn this near-death fuck-up of yours into a moral referendum on me.
They get very angry, some of them even violently angry, at the very idea that you have any choice at all. Tell that to this person. Tell that. No, tell it to yourself. No, it can't be. I refuse to accept it. But yet, when it comes to responsibility, there they want to reserve the right to make choice.
My people are out there. They're like fucking Indians. You're not going to see them, and you're not going to hear about them, except through me or Captain Queenan. You will not ever know the identity of undercover people. Unfortunately, this shithole has more fucking leaks than the Iraqi Navy.
Fuck yourself.
I'm tired from fucking your wife.
How's your mother?
Good, she's tired from fucking my father.
Do you have anyone in with Costello presently?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself. My theory on feds is they're like mushrooms. Feed them shit and keep them in the dark. Girls, have a good day.
I'm not going to be responsible for that, or I will. I'll choose. I'll decide whether I will or not will be responsible for this. And it is so ironic that those who make even a penchant and a passion out of denying choice will demand it when it comes to responsibility. There, I do have choice and I choose not.
He's got an appointment at the DIA tomorrow at 2, right?
Yeah.
You driving him?
Yeah.
Good. We need him out of the office for at least 3 hours. That's when we'll be sweeping his car.
Okay.
How long will it take you to download the data card off his Palm Pilot?
20, 30 minutes, depending on the level of encryption. But you can't. He never lets it out of his sight. Assuming we can separate him from it 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
Wait. What if he's smarter than I am?
To be responsible. In fact, reality is filled with a myriad of choices. Almost everything is a choice. Almost. But among that myriad of choices, millions of choices you make every moment of your life, responsibility is not one of them. You don't get to choose whether you're going to be responsible. You get to decide when, but not if. Everybody will take responsibility for their impact, for their creation. No matter how long they may deny it, no matter how long they may pretend, it is only a matter of when. Some of you have learned to take responsibility quickly, thus with integrity, almost spontaneously. Others seem to deny and say, no, I'm not going to be responsible, I'm not going to be responsible, I refuse to be responsible, but in time. It might be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, perhaps it will manifest itself as some sort of illness, some sort of disease, some sort of cancer, in one form or another, and then they will be responsible. The choice isn't whether you will be, but when you will be.
Wait. What if he's smarter than I am?
A couple of years ago, the Bureau put together a task force. Lots of assets had been disappearing. Sources like Matorin, Martinov, dozens of them vanishing. So this task force was formed to find the mole who was giving them up. Our best analysts poring over data for years looking for the guy, and they could never quite find him. Guess who we put in charge of the task force? He was smarter than all of us. Actually, I can live with that part. It's the idea that my entire career has been a waste of time. That's the part I hate. Everything I've done since I got to this office, everything we've all been paid to do, he was undoing it. We all could have just stayed home.
Queen F1. Knight E8. Queen F2. Knight D6.
You could have this feeling it could go on for weeks at a time. Months, do you know what I mean? You're desperate and whatnot. Everything is black. Later in life, it comes quick, sudden, like for no reason, it seems to me. But it also passes more quickly. Oh, that's my feeling, but
did you ever choose a method?
Yes, I had several methods, you know. Drowning was one. I tried that once.
You tried it?
Yeah, I tried taking the pill. You know, I had a friend, a doctor, who gave me the pill to commit suicide. And to make sure that it would work, I opened the windows wide. It was winter. The snow came in. I lay naked on the bed. He must have given me a sleeping pill. I thought he really gave me something to kill me. I took it. I went to sleep immediately. I woke up. The snow was on me, and I didn't even have a cough.
Yeah. When you were driving, did you occasionally select a tree?
No, that I would never want to.
Well, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said all these plane trees which you love in Provence so much. Oh, I have such trouble, because sometimes when I'm a little drunk and I'm driving, I mentally select one with my eye, and it's so terribly easy. Then I have to slow down. Mm-hmm. I never had that for you. Mm-hmm.
I've never wanted to do that. I don't want any agony, any maimed limbs and whatnot. The arena at Nîmes, a Roman amphitheater where the Christians of old were crucified and fed to the lions. Imagine dying in this glorious arena at 4 p.m. in the presence of 100,000 crazy Roman sadistic monsters.
Charles Freck, becoming progressively more and more depressed by what was happening around him, decided finally to off himself. There was no problem in the circles where he hung out in putting an end to yourself. You just bought a large quantity of downers and took them with some cheap wine. The planning part had to do with the artifacts he wanted found on him by later archaeologists. He had spent several days deciding, much longer than he had spent deciding to kill himself. He would be found lying on his back, on his bed, with a copy of Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead and an unfinished letter to Exxon protesting the cancellation of his gas credit card. That way, he would indict the system and achieve something by his death, over and above what the death itself achieved. At the last moment, he changed his mind on a decisive issue and decided to drink the pills with a connoisseur wine instead of Ripple or Thunderbird. So he set off on one last drive, over to Tiny's Liquors, which specialized in fine wines, and bought a bottle of 2001 Azalea Springs Merlot, which set him back almost $70. Back home again, he uncorked the wine, let it breathe, drank a few glasses of it, and tried to think of something meaningful, but could not. And then, with a glass of Merlot, gulped down all the pills at once. However, he had been burned. Instead of quietly suffocating, Charles Freck began to hallucinate. The next thing he knew, a creature from between dimensions was standing beside his bed, looking down at him disapprovingly.
Entering me, my friends. It's going to take 100,000 hours.
Your sins will be read to you ceaselessly in shifts throughout eternity. The list will never end. The sins of Freck.
Charles Freck wished he could take back the last half hour of his life.
8-6 in the first grade, theft of fingernail clippers. 8 p.m. Theft. You did knowingly and with kicking punch your baby sister, Evelyn. December. Theft of Christmas present. 1,000,000 lies.
Destruction. 1,000 years later, they had reached the sixth grade, the year he had discovered masturbation.
November 14th. Percodan. Vicodin. Cocaine.
Charles Freck thought, at least I got a good wine.
Result-oriented. They're impatient and they want to know the bottom line immediately. These are the kind of people you put in charge when you want to get results quickly. They make excellent salespeople, sales managers, fire chiefs, combat officers, production managers, and so on.
Well,
migrations. Are there many patients where you start with ambulatory blood pressure monitoring and then the follow-up is with home blood pressure?
I think particularly people where you have a strong suspicion that they may have white coat hypertension, or people with, for instance, diabetics with evidence of nephropathy or neuropathy, where you're worried about what's happening to the pressure during the night, or patients with intermittent symptoms that could be possibly related to brief changes of blood pressure. In those situations, the ambulatory may be the one to go for first.
Dr. Hall, do you use home blood pressure as well?
Probably 50% of the patients I follow take their own pressures at home.
The courts accorded corporations the rights of persons. That's a very sharp attack on classical liberalism, in which rights are inherent in people, people of flesh and blood.
Patterning is there. Opening up to seeking and to being found, a couple. Wanting to have, wanting to fall in love, get married and have children. The possibility, you got to start opening up to searching on being found. The potential, the possibility, rather they're finding, being found and finding happens. A man and a woman come together. There's a potential here. They like each other. Things going well. Doesn't always work, doesn't always pan out, but hey, the potential's there. And in that possibility and potential, there's opportunities. Okay, so they fall in love and wonderful and fantastic. And they want to have a child. Ideas ripe for creation can be made ready for manifestation. And when out of love comes this child, the creation conceived and manifest, born, mothers and fathers are born. All of a sudden, yes, now I'm a mother, now I'm a father. And I look at life differently. I have different dreams and visions. See, when I was a little kid, I wanted to grow up and get married and be a father. When I was a little girl, I wanted to grow up and get married and be a mommy. And I had my baby dolls with her tiny tears and all that. And I loved to play dollies. And it was fun to be the dolly and to be the mommy of a dolly. And it was, and the idea of when I, and then you got into teenage years and it became romantic. That my Prince Charming will come and we'll make babies together and we'll have, you know, if you were an only child, we'll have 10 or 12. If you were one of the 10 or 12, we'll have one. Maybe two, but... But a child had a dream. A child's dream is playful, is fanciful. Little boys, little girls have dreams of growing up and making and having babies, or maybe having them, they don't know they make them then, but nonetheless, they, adolescents have dreams about having kids, getting married, having kids. But once they do, once this creation and manifestation happens, if it is in a union of the heart, in a resonance of love, when that birthing happens, when that idea has been created and manifested in terms of a human being, now that man and that woman's dreams and visions change. Now, even to think of it in that term, when that birthing happens without the union of heart, you know, he nailed her. She got pregnant. She had a kid. No, we don't love each other. We don't care about each other. It just happened, a mistake. The child dreams and fantasies don't change, do they? This guy's still going around looking for that woman that's going to be the mother of his children. And she's still looking for that Prince Charming that's going to... But you have a kid. Oh, yeah, that was just... It's not maybe hers do, but you see what we're saying? When it's not, when there's no love involved, when it's just a creation and manifestation, without that union of heart and mind, then the dreams don't change.
All cell phone signals are under surveillance through the courtesy of our federal friends over there.
Patriot Act, Patriot Act. I love it, I love it, I love it.
Now, as we say, perhaps for her, who's impregnated with this child, she may take it into her heart and mind and love this child. And her dreams will change. Her visions will change, becoming adult dreams and visions. But if the guy who knocked her up is still just the guy who knocked her up, he's still wandering around out there with his same old dreams and fantasies. They haven't changed.
Ain't gonna hurt you.
You want to get a cup of coffee?
We looked at all possible candidates. You have an immaculate record. Some people don't trust a guy with an immaculate record. I do. I have an immaculate record. How's your wedding coming along?
Great. Great. She's a doctor.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
Marriage is an important part of getting ahead. Lets people know you're not a homo. Married guy seems more stable. People see the ring, they think at least somebody can stand the son of a bitch. Ladies see the ring, they know immediately you must have some cash and your cock must work.
Sometimes it can happen after you see the point. But that's so in that range. It's so in every creation. Every creation. This wheel is evident. It's there. It's turning, turning, turning. Every creation on every level, from the simplest to the grandest. A point. Use this to develop your map. When I want to create something, however big or small, first develop the possibility. Have a map. What am I going to do here? First, I want to develop the possibility. I need to ignite the possible. How do I do that? The truth of it, the wheel of turns, shows that the first breath of light and the first breath of hope unfold within the innocence of chaos. Enter chaos, find the innocence, the first breath and first light. Spirit awakens, searching for soul. Soul stirs, waiting to be found. But translate that. As I open up to this is what I'm going to create, I want to clear the space in my head.
Dear friends, thank you for the $50,000. As far as the funds are concerned, I have little need or utility for more than $100,000 at any one time. My security concerns may seem excessive. I cannot spend it. I believe experience has shown them to be necessary. I am much safer if you know little about me. And neither of us are children about these things. I was unable to locate the package based on your description last night. Please recognize that I am in a business suit and cannot slog around in inch-deep mud. Your service has recently suffered some setbacks. I warn you that Mr. Boris Yutsin, Mr. Sergei Motorin, and Mr. Valery Martinov have all been recruited by our special services. The U.S. can be errantly likened to a powerfully built but retarded child. Potentially dangerous but young, immature, and easily manipulated. I found the site empty. Empty sites bother me. I like to know before I commit myself, as I'm sure you do also. One might propose that I am either insanely brave or quite insane. I'd answer neither. I'd say insanely loyal. Take your pick. There's insanity in all the answers. Eventually, I would appreciate an escape plan. Nothing lasts forever.
Sincerely, Ramon.
I want to create a great holiday season. I'm going to be doing this or that. I want to create a great holiday season. How do I do that?
Blocks White's pawn at d5. Bishop b6 threatens Black's queen. Queen e8 moves it to safety.
Well, first, I want to clear my head. I want to clear my emotions about all the previous holiday seasons that I've enjoyed. There's a chaos there. How do I feel about holidays? I love holidays. I get depressed. I remember this one and then that one. And the chaos. Emotional, mental chaos. Enter it. Enter it. And then move into the innocence by releasing. Releasing. Have the humility. Just because this is how, quote, all the holidays have gone, it doesn't have to be that way this time.
Pray for me.
Enter the chaos. I feel the chaos. And then I enter the innocence. I release and enter the innocence of chaos. And open up to, by searching for and letting it be found in me. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. By thinking, by feeling, you search. By letting those thoughts and feelings in, you wait to be found. It calls upon your spirit. It calls upon your soul. I want to be conscious of that. In that, but you see, I create that kind of, and that opens up possibility. Now, when the second step, potential. Okay, what are the potentials? What are the potentials in this possibility of a good holiday? What are the potentials? What are the range of things that could happen that are within my grasp? Oh, wow, you know, a good holiday would be to, you know, go on a this trip or that trip and do this and do that and have dinner with the queen, whatever. Now, that's possible. Yes, it is. Surely it is. But is it within your potential? Is Anne over here have the potential of having dinner with the queen? Depends on which queen, but does she have the potential of that? Not so, not necessarily so. So therefore, yeah, it's not going to be part of her potential to be doing all that. I don't have the money for this. I don't have the wherewithal for that. I don't have... And besides, I know that I really am going to spend it with these friends or those friends or this family or whatever. Okay, so what's the potential? You see, in this possibility now, potential is unbound.
But at this point, we have no other recourse in view of their evasive tactics. I mean, there is, of course, one thing you could do, Bob, although it would take time.
Sell the house and move out?
But hell, this is our home.
You could make a considerable profit. On the other hand, you might have to take a loss on a quick sale. I know a good realtor.
What reason should I give for selling? They always ask.
Can't tell the truth. You really shouldn't tell the truth at all. Well, why can't we tell the truth?
We put it in the LA Times.
Modern. Three-bedroom tract house with two bathrooms for easy and fast flushing. High-grade drugs stashed throughout all rooms included in sale price. It could actually increase the value.
But they might be calling and asking what kind of drugs are stashed, and we don't know. It could be anything.
And prospective buyers might inquire as to the quantity.
Yeah, we don't know at this point. It could be ounces of weed or pounds of heroin or hits of E or kilocaps of D.
Hey, you guys. Fuck! Jesus! What the fuck is wrong with you? I came in, like the note said. It didn't say when you were going to get back, so I just sat around for a while and Ended up crashing.
Love your sweater.
Don't touch me. Man, you guys are making so much noise.
Sorry.
Woke me up.
Did you smoke a joint before you crashed?
Yeah. Otherwise, I can't ever sleep. You know, you guys should seriously think about maybe locking the doors when you leave. Otherwise, you could get ripped off and it'd be your own fault.
It's all your fault.
Did I hear you say you were going to sell the house? Or is that, you know, me dreaming? What I heard sounded weird.
Yeah, we're all dreaming.
Do you lie?
Why? Do you?
No, I'm asking if you lie.
Honesty is not synonymous with truth.
Yeah, you lie. You lie. Is it to do some good, to get somewhere personally, or what, just for the fuck of it?
Well, I expect that some people do it to keep things on an even keel.
Wow. So you had a parent who was a drunk.
Living and unliving things are exchanging properties.
The drive of unliving things is stronger than the drive of living things.
The living should never be used to serve the purposes of the dead. But the dead should, if possible, serve the purposes of the living.
Courts accorded corporations the rights of persons. That's a very sharp attack on classical liberalism, in which rights are inherent in people of flesh and blood, and not corporate entities like states or something like that. This grew out of a kind of neo-Hegelian concepts of the rights of organic entities over individuals. Actually, I had three major outgrowths in the 20th century. One is fascism, another's Bolshevism, and another's corporatism. They're rather similar in their character and the reasoning behind them. When these systems did begin to take shape a century ago, they were very sharply condemned by conservatives. That's a breed of people that doesn't exist anymore, but they did at that time. Conservative meant classical liberal. And they were condemned as a kind of a reversion to feudalism, or even as a form of communism, which was not unreasonable. If by communism you mean Bolshevism, yeah, it was rather similar in conception. The same by their advocates, like, say, you know, progressives like Woodrow Wilson, who was a big proponent of corporatization, nevertheless pointed out correctly that this is the end of freedom. It's the end of private enterprise. It's the end of freedom. It's a new America in which people will not be working for themselves, but will be servants of corporate entities. You go back to, say, the mid-19th century, there was a very lively, independent, working-class press run by young women from the farms called factory girls, artisans from the town, you know, shoemakers, Irish immigrants, and so on. And it's interesting reading. I mean, they very bitterly condemned what they called 150 years ago the new spirit of the age, gain wealth forgetting all but self. That's the doctrine of the modern system. And they recognized it, they condemned it. It was the new spirit of the age then. They said it was totally dehumanizing. They did not want to be the kind of people who would gain wealth forgetting all but self, namely what they're taught to be. And by now, a huge indoctrination system tries to force them to be. They regarded it as degrading, destructive of culture, of independence, of freedom. They described themselves as being the subjects of a monarchical or feudal system, losing their rights as Americans.